Please open your Bibles with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. As you're turning there, let me just, of course, say how good it is to see everyone tonight, but also wanted to pass on a message. Jessica and I had a chance to go to a camp reunion last night, and there was a family there who had visited with us a couple weeks ago, and they just wanted me to tell y'all how welcome they felt when they visited here. When you visit some congregations, you feel like an outsider. But they said when they visited with us, they just felt at home and appreciated both everyone who went up and talked to them and also the cards they received afterward. And I think personally, if you look at James 2, welcoming in visitors as family is certainly a scriptural command. And I appreciate so much everyone who always is a part of that effort of making this church feel like a home. We're a family, and we need to invite others in to let them see the love of Christ and to see the glory that is found in our fellowship with Him. And if I can just make a quick comment about this, I know oftentimes it's awkward, you know, whenever you go up to someone, you know, nice to see you. A question I have found that's very non-invasive is, what brings you our way? If you don't know what else to ask, just, what brings you our way? You don't have to ask, are you from another church? Are you religious? Are you not? You know, but just, what brings you our way? And people who want to tell you will tell you, and those that don't, you can find another way to get to them. But just, what brings you our way? That I found is just a simple question to ask. But again, thank you so much. And they wanted me to pass that message along and truly commend y'all for really making this church feel like a family, which we truly are. My question I want to pose this evening is this. What are the benefits of meditating on the Word? So you'll remember a few weeks ago, I looked in Ezra chapter 7, Nehemiah chapter 8, and then Hebrews chapter 4 to understand the power of the Word of God. And truly, the Word of God is living and active. And God's power to transform and to change is really revealed within the Holy Scriptures. And we have to be people who are in the Word, letting God's power transform us through His Holy Scripture. Tonight, I want to follow up with that thought just a little bit by talking about the concept of meditating on the Word. As you go throughout the Bible, there is nearly as much about meditating on the Word as there is about reading the Word. And there's even more in the Bible about meditating on the Word than studying the Word. We don't think about meditation. Meditation, we typically think of having to do with Eastern religions, but not really a Christian concept. But I think we're going to see it as certainly a Christian concept. And I want us to consider, what is the power of meditating on the Word? So as we begin in Psalm 1, Psalm 1 is, of course, the beginning of the book of Psalms. And I think what the psalmist is doing is he's providing a blessing to those who read this book and go about understanding and meditating on the psalm itself. So Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its time, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You'll notice in verse 2, blessed is the man, what does he do? Who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. There's certainly a blessing with meditation. And when you look in the context of this psalm, you'll notice with me there's really three main sections. In verse 1 and 2, he's providing a blessing to the one who is righteous. And in verse 2, it tells us, his delight is in the law of the Lord because on his law he meditates day and night. Why is a man who meditates on the Word blessed? Well, the term meditation in Scripture, it means to murmur. Whenever you meditate, in the Hebrew term, has this idea of murmuring, of talking low. And whenever you meditate, it's kind of like you talk to yourself, right? And y'all know whenever you talk to yourself, I'm guilty as everyone is of this. It's actually a really good thing. Whenever you talk to yourself, you murmur to yourself. So if I'm trying to talk about the benefits of meditation and I'm murmuring to myself and I'm trying to remember what exactly the purpose of meditation is, And I'm trying to recall Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not. That's meditation. That's the biblical concept of meditation. It is that low murmur of meditating on the word. And you'll notice, particularly in Psalm 1:2, when meditation occurs, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So here's what I want to do for the rest of our time together. I want to break Psalm 1 down a little bit and really understand two parts. First, I want us to understand what the actual benefits of meditation are. And then I want us to consider, how do we practically meditate on the word? So again, we're going to first look at the benefits, but second, then we're going to look at the actual methods of meditation. If you look at this verse, the blessing of meditation, I think, is really found in verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. What's this imagery here? The imagery here is of a man who is planted like a tree at streams of water. Why? Well, I think there's a couple ideas here. English teachers don't like mixed metaphors. The psalmist loves mixed metaphors. There are mixed metaphors all throughout the Psalms. The English teacher in me says, oh no, but the Bible student in me loves them. Because what he's doing is he's bringing out various spiritual applications and realities through these mixed metaphors. If you look at verse 3, he is like a tree that is planted by streams of water. What does this mean? Well, I think the first idea here is he's grounded, okay? This is contrasted with verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. So here you have two options. The man who meditates on the law of the Lord, he is one who is planted like a tree. What does that mean? He's grounded, right? But the wicked are not so, but verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. The righteous are going to be those who are planted like a tree, whereas the wicked are going to be like chaff that are just taken away. So the blessing here, of course, is you're planted, right? But the second idea here is you're also fruitful. So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Not only is the righteous man blessed as he's planted, but he's blessed because he's fruitful. Meditating on the word, I think within the context of verse 3 and 4, has two main benefits to it. It first of all grounds us and plants us, but second, it makes us fruitful. It makes us fruitful in life. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They're just going to be driven away like the wind. The righteous will be prosperous. So why is the one who meditates on the law blessed? Well, within 3 and 4, two reasons. Number one, they're planted. Number two, they're fruitful. Well, how does then this come about? How does meditation have such blessing accompanied with it? Why does meditation yield such blessings? I want us to go to Psalm 19 and read it 3 times. I'm kidding. Thanks, Randy. No one gets my humor here, Randy. When you look at Psalm 119, there's various blessings that are found with meditation. And within the context of the psalm, I think we're going to see why there is such blessing here. All right? Two reasons we're going to look at. Let's first of all go to verse 15 and 16. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes and I will not forget your word. What does meditation do? Verse 15. Meditation is fixing our eyes. Another word, it's focusing. When you meditate on something, you focus on it. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes and will not forget your word. Why does the righteous man here meditate on the word? Because here, when he meditates on his precepts, he fixes his eyes on his ways. Now, when we look at meditation, I think the question for us then is, what do we delight in, but what do we think about? What do we focus on in our lives? Do y'all know what it means to just be consumed by something? And typically we talk about that in a bad way. I just saw some eyes roll. When you're just consumed by something. Many of us have been consumed by work. Work can consume us. School, as you're going through K through 12, can consume you. Sports can consume you. As you wake up, you have to think about it because you have to get through it. It's then all that you think about. It's all that you talk about. It's all that you put your time into. It's your meditation. And whether it's work, whether it's sports, whether it's recreation, we understand, I think, this concept of meditation. But spiritually, when we meditate on something, it's our focus. Again, think about it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. When you meditate on the Word of God day and night, it becomes your focus. It becomes the focus of our thoughts. It becomes the focus of our ways. It becomes the focus of our lives. But not only does it become our focus, but also I would recommend meditation offers understanding. Look at verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous ways. This, if you'll remember, our Psalms class is called parallelism, where the psalmist is taking two ideas and saying them in different ways. Make me understand your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Here, how does meditation help? It leads to understanding. Over to verse 99. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. How then does meditation bless us? It provides us understanding. And I think we know what this means, right? If you go to Hebrews chapter 5, 14 through 6, 3, it's a text I've walked us through a few times. But it talks about the basic principles of Christ. And there it talks about the difference between milk and solid food. The solid food of the text, you have to chew on. And there's many biblical principles you just have to chew on. It's not that you can just read through a text one time and understand it. But many teachings of Scripture, you got to chew on for a long time. It's like a piece of steak that you just got to chew on and chew on and chew on and chew on till finally you're able to get it down. That's how the Word of God is. The Word of God is meant to be meditated on. It is meant to be focused on. It is meant to be the meditation and the thought of our heart from day until night. It is meant to be the focus of our hearts from every second of our day. It is meant to be the core of our understanding every step of our lives. That's when we come to understand the Word of God. God has written this marvelous book in a way that requires and demands our meditation. And should we not meditate on the Word of God, we will never understand the truths that are contained within it. We must meditate. So now let's focus on where we are. Let's summarize. What are the benefits of meditation? Well, I think they're twofold in two different ways. The benefits of meditation in Psalm 1 are blessing. When you meditate on the Word, you are planted and you're fruitful. That's the blessings of meditation. But the other aspects of the benefits of meditation from Psalm 119, it helps us to focus on the Word and it helps us to understand the Word. That's how we meditate on the Word. So now I want to get a bit more practical then. What are the methods of meditation? And here what I would like to do is I would like to provide just some very practical ways that I have found to meditate on the Word of God. Again, it's an important work. If we meditate on His Word, we will be blessed. If we meditate on His word, we will prosper. If we meditate on His word, we'll be planted. If we meditate on His word, we will focus on His word. And if we meditate on His word, we will understand His word. The imperative is that we meditate. The question then is how? If we know we must meditate, how then do we do it? Well, quite simply, I think Psalm 1 verse 2 summarizes it well. He meditates on the law of the Lord day and night. Day and night. Meditation requires continual thought. Continual meditation. Constant thought. Well, practically then, how do you do this? Well, I would like to give a few different recommendations, six particular recommendations I have found. Number one, and I'm going to do something I've never asked y'all to do, but if you have a smartphone, I want you to get your smartphone out and open up your Play Store, because I want you to do this now while you're here. Go ahead. If you have a smartphone, I want you to do it now. Go with me to your Play Store, your Apple Store, whatever it is. And while we're sitting here, I want you to download and just put in your search bar, Audio Bible. Audio Bible. The very first one there is the one I've downloaded and listened to many, many, many times. It's called the Audio Bible. While we're sitting here, before you walk out and get busy with your life and forget to do it, download it. Install it. So just click on it and install it. And what this app has, it has many different translations, many different aspects of the Word of God. And the one I listen to, it has every single chapter of text, and it does it very, very well. So here's what Jessica and I do. Jessica and I have had to drive a lot this summer. We'll get the Audio Bible out, and we'll just listen to a book. Brethren, it is amazing to just listen to a book. As I was studying through Ecclesiastes a few months ago for personal study, I had made the fatal flaw of trying to just study chapter one without just listening to the whole book many times. So here's what I did. To fight that temptation of getting distracted, I got my Audio Bible out and I listened to it time after time after time. And that's when I started to really understand and meditate on the Word. Brethren, these devices can draw us closer to God. I'm afraid far too often we use them for games, we use them for entertainment, when they can be used to draw us closer to our Creator. Get that Audio Bible and listen to it. If you take walks, I do this all the time. Put your earphones in as you walk, listen to your Audio Bible. If you're driving down the road, listen to your Audio Bible. If you're cooking, listen to your Audio Bible. If you're just having to do things around the house and you can listen to it, listen to your Audio Bible. If you're at work and you're doing physical labor and can listen to something, listen to your Audio Bible. Meditate on the Word day and night. Day and night. The second aspect I would recommend, still if you have your phones out, I want you to Google, or whatever your Play Store is in your search bar, it's called Read Scripture. Read Scripture. The icon for it is, it's black with gold, and it's an open Bible with a cross. This has become my daily Bible reading. What this does is it integrates videos from the Bible Project, who I've introduced y'all to before in classes before, and it integrates that with the text. So I can then just read through and meditate on and focus on the Word of God. And then my device can bring me closer to God and it becomes my meditation. All right? So if you've not done it, download your Audio Bible, download your text, meditate on the Word. All right? You can put your phones away. If you don't have a smartphone, I promise you'll find a way to listen to the Word of God. You can get CDs of just Scripture. When I was in Florida, there was a man in our congregation who could not read. When he was a child, he had a condition and he couldn't read. But man, he could quote Scripture. You don't know why? Because his wife read him the Scripture every single day. He listened on CD to the Scripture every single day. It was his meditation. All right? So that's my first tip. Get an app and listen to it. Get an app and read it. Get in the Word. The second, and this is just what I call my bathroom mirror. Y'all know I love my whiteboards. And I love my dry erase markers. And on my bathroom mirror, write text. I memorized much of the book of 1 Peter on a bathroom mirror. It will amaze you how much you can understand as you're brushing your teeth or shaving, whatever you do, as you need to do at your bathroom mirror. For me, it's my bathroom mirror. For you, it may be that while you're doing dishes, you're going to find a piece, just write on a piece of paper, some text, and you're going to tape it right to your wall, right where you do dishes. And then every night as you're doing dishes, you're memorizing the Word of God. Don't do it while you're driving. Don't put it on your driving window. But find somewhere to put the Word of God where you can focus on it. If it's where you do your dishes, that's fine. If it's where you fold your laundry, put it where you fold your laundry. If it's while you're at work when you have a lunch break, put it on your desk where you can look at it. Find a way to meditate on the Word of God, to focus on His Word. At lunch, rather than getting online and reading the news, listen to the Word. Rather than getting on YouTube and watching the newest cat video, listen to the Word. Brethren, meditate on it. I have been so encouraged over the last month to hear how creative some of y'all have gotten with your Bible reading. I challenge y'all, it's the second Sunday of July, from Ezra 7:10, Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to do it, to teach the statutes and rules in Israel. And from that verse I recommended and admonished, we need to be in the book daily. What we begin our day with and what we end our day with needs to be the Word. What we focus on needs to be the Word. And Kirby, and so as he talked about in his invitation a few weeks ago, has found ways to do that. Others of you have come to me individually and told me, I found ways to get in the Word. I found ways to just be in there. Whatever it is, get creative. Whatever your bathroom mirror is, get creative. Number three, I'm going to call just repetitive reading. Repetitive reading. So often, when I was first starting out preaching, 17, 18 years old, first question I'd always ask preachers is, so what books do you recommend? And I would hear all types of commentaries and books, etc. The best answer I ever got came from Wilson Adams. Wilson told me there's four that I'm going to recommend you read. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. One preacher who I respect immensely, probably has the best Bible knowledge of any person I've ever met in my entire life. I asked him that same question a couple years ago after I'd become a better student of the Word. And asked him, you know, what would you just recommend just studying more as a young man? And I was looking more scriptural ways. Usually I hear 1st and 2nd Timothy or Ecclesiastes. He said, Ryan, I don't think there's really just a book I would recommend, but just read it over and over. Whenever I sit down to study a book, I read it 50 times. And I was like, oh, 50 times, that takes a lot of time. Yeah, it does. But think about it, it's not that challenging. Let's take Leviticus right now. We're studying through Leviticus. I know it's been a challenging book. But if you read the book of Leviticus twice a week, over the course of the class, you will end up reading the book of Leviticus at least 20 times, just twice a week. You break down the book of Leviticus, there's 27 chapters divided by 7. It's a little more than about four chapters a day. It's reading four chapters a day. The time of our class, you can read the book over 20 times. I am a strong, strong, strong believer, as I've told you all many, many times of repetition. Repetitive reading. When you sit down to study a book, don't first go to a commentary. Don't go to BibleGateway.com. Don't go to Bible.com. Don't go to some website that you may find. Read it over and over and over and over and over again. Brethren, it took me reading through Leviticus dozens of times before I understood how phenomenal of a book it was. The book of Ecclesiastes, I had to read Ecclesiastes dozens of times before I had a clue about what that book was even talking about. Repetitive reading. Over and over and over again. Number four. This is called the will method. This is one that has stuck out to me, but it's really neat. Brother Tom Hawley preaches down in Mississippi. I had a chance to meet him in a camp a couple weeks, years ago. Brother Hawley uses what he calls the will method. What he does is he reads four chapters from a book a day. But here's how he does it. Day one, he does chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. Day two, he does 2, 3, 4, 1. Day three. Three, four, five, back to two. And then he'll go further. Then he'll do one, two, three, four. And then it's three, four, five, one. Four, five, six, two. Seven, eight, nine, three. Eight, nine, ten, four. 10, 11, 12, 4. And you pick out things in the text that way. He calls it the will method because it's like reading the book over and over. You just keep turning it over in your head. So often I found we just read through a book. The Bible is the most beautiful narrative that's ever been written because it all fits together. Not only do individual books fit together, but the whole Bible fits together. It is by reading and seeing these connections in various times that then the Bible story really sticks out. So whatever it is, if it's the will method or whatever it is, I can show y'all in more detail exactly how it works. Find a way to get the connections and read through the Bible. Brother Holly also reads a book backward. So he will literally begin, if he's in like Ecclesiastes, he would start with Ecclesiastes 12, 14, and then verse 13, and then verse 12, and then verse 11, and then verse 10. And then he'll back up and do chapter 11 at the end to the beginning, chapter 10 into beginning. Read it backwards. I've done it to where I start a book in the very middle, read it to end, then read it backward. Whatever it is, meditate on the word. Number five, this is where I want to get quite practical. Memorize. Memorize the word. Now, immediately, I can hear your thoughts. Ryan, it's just, I'm not that smart. I can't memorize. There's these preachers that they can just quote verses and, you know, that's their profession and that's what they can do and they've spent their lives doing it. I can't memorize. Brethren, let me ask you this question. How many songs do you have memorized in your head? For most of us, a few hundred. Amazing Grace. Finish it for me. How sweet the sound. That's right. It's in your head. As many hundreds of songs as we memorized, how many scripture have we memorized? Here's my challenge now, okay? July, I challenge y'all to read the word more regularly. August, my challenge is to memorize one chapter. One chapter. And it's Psalm 1:1. Psalm chapter 1. All right? Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Here's what I've done. And y'all can get these on the way out. One way I strongly recommend memorizing a book is visual memory. Visual memory. If you think through it, our visual memory works a whole lot better than our linguistic memory. If I were to ask you, for example, for directions about how to get around your house, you can visualize that, right? So in our house, if you come up the ramp and then you come in, I know that there's a bookcase right there. That bookcase has three different levels on it. Right when I left, there was a card that said thank you on the top. Then to the right of it, there was a black folder that was sitting there. Visual memory works pretty well. Whenever you memorize, find a way to visualize a text. Okay? This is called an infographic, and I've made 100 of these. Jessica helped me make these. And it helps you to visualize Psalm 1. Okay? There's some hokey illustrations on here, but it hopefully will help you memorize the word. So let me show y'all for this one, just as an example, what I did. For the first section, here you have a blessed man. Okay? So whenever you remember Psalm 1, okay, how does it start? If you get the first two words of a chapter out, memorization goes a whole lot easier, okay? Blessed is the man, okay? Then what does he do? Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And what I did was I tried to put in capitals each of the major thoughts there, and you'll see that progression. You're walking, and then you're standing, and then you're sitting. But likewise, at the end of the verse, you have the wicked, then you have the sinners, and then you have the scoffers. There's a progression there. And then in the middle right here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. But the wicked are not so. They're like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You have the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. It's how the book ends. Visualize it. When I was really struggling with verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. So in my mind, I visualized a tree, an actual tree at my grandparents' farm that I could visualize. And I visualized that tree right by the stream that was yielding its fruit, but then imagining that leaf not withering. So thanking first of the fruit, then thanking of the leaf, visualizing it. Brethren, it's a powerful, powerful way. Now here's my challenge then, okay? My challenge is also, make a song if you need. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live my faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Still when I preach, I use that. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts and letter in Romans. I still use that. I'm 27 years old and I still use that song. Make a song if you need. Natalie will probably write one for you. Write a song if you need. If you're not musically inclined, visualize it. Brethren, memorize. Meditate on it. Now here's my challenge. I would challenge everyone in this congregation to memorize Psalm 1 by the end of August. Okay? You have 1 month to memorize Psalm 1, and I will be coming up and asking you if you've memorized it. I am dead serious. Okay? At camp, they had to memorize Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Yesterday at the camp reunion, I went up to kids. What does Ezra 7:10 say? For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it, to teach the statutes and rules in Israel. They had not done it in a month and they still had it. Okay? Y'all can do this. I have faith in you. If you're struggling, come see me. But I will be coming up to y'all in the month of September and asking you what you've memorized from Psalm 1. Okay? I'm going to challenge our shepherds to lead us in this effort. Okay? I'm going to challenge Randy and Kirby and Randy to lead us by showing us they're memorizing Psalm 1. I'm going to ask each member to memorize Psalm 1. So if you need to put it on your bathroom mirror, put it in your bathroom mirror, okay? If you need to put it by your workplace to memorize it, put it by your workplace. Wherever you need to put it wherever you need to do it. July, I challenge us, let's get in there and let's read the Word. Y'all have done that beautifully. August, let's memorize the Word. It's one chapter, okay? I memorized it, I think, 3 days. If you get in there and work at it, God's was written, brethren, let's think through this for a second. The Word of God was inspired by our Creator. He made us for His Word. He made us for His book. He made His book for our minds to understand and to meditate on. Our Creator did this. Let's give God's Word the respect and devotion that it's due. Blessed is the man who meditates on the law of the Lord. Okay? So in September, be ready. Psalm 1. So now let's take everything to a close. What does this then yield? Quite practically, what does this yield? Well, meditation and study, as I've talked about so many times, do not yield just facts and figures and data. It ultimately is showing us who God is. This Bible is ultimately showing us who God is. And that is why it is the most astounding book that's ever been written. It is showing us the ways and nature of our God. And practically for us, as we meditate on our law, on the law of the Lord, we should become like our God. Remember Ezra 7:10? Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it. Whenever we study the law of the Lord, it should yield doing it, being like our God in nature, being like Him in behavior, being like Him in character, being like Him in our ways. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Therefore, immerse yourself in these things. Practice them. When Paul challenged Timothy, immerse yourself in these writings. Immerse yourself in them. Using another word, meditate on them. Practice them. Brethren, God is working through His Word. God's power is working through the Holy Scripture. We just need to let that living and active sword to come in. We need to let God's power be in our lives, and we need to be in His Word. So what then are the benefits of meditating on the Word? What are the outcomes of it? Well, I think there's a few. But ultimately, meditating on the Word helps us to focus and understand His Word so that then we may be blessed, we may be grounded, we may be planted, we may be fruitful. Meditate on His Word. Brethren, tonight is a night where I am, as a servant of God and as your fellow brother, exhorting you. The Word of God is powerful for every work. And I am exhorting you, let's get in there and let's meditate on it. Let's memorize Psalm 1 together. Let's memorize it together. As a family of God, let's be focused on the words of our Creator and let's be focused on Him. All right? Let's meditate on His Word. If you're struggling with Psalm 1, find someone to help you. Going down the road every once in a while, I would ask Jessica to just pull out the phone. Jessica, let me do Psalm 1 real quick. You're missing a word here, Ryan. Think through it. And then she'd help me to get it corrected. Find someone to help you. If that needs to be me, I'd love to. Every service, come up to me. Tell me what you've done so far. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. Right, the counsel of the wicked. Let's do it together, right? Let's meditate on His Word. Brethren, God's power is still working in His holy Word. And as we studied from Hebrews 4:12 a few weeks ago, God's power is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. If we get in His Word, if we get in there and we meditate on it, we'll be blessed, we'll be prosperous, we'll be fruitful, we'll focus, we'll understand. But we have to meditate. We have to meditate on it. I would encourage y'all, tell me your creative ways that you found to memorize and meditate. I would love to get my list of 6 up to a list of 12, and then even more, to hear what you're doing to meditate on and memorize and consider the Word of God, but let's get in there. For the invitation this evening, maybe you want to first get into Christ. This book has the greatest message that has ever been written because it tells of the good news of Jesus Christ who came to this earth, died on a cross to give us freedom, to give us hope, to give us liberty from sin, so that one day we may, as we discussed this morning, live in that Garden of Eden with Him for all of eternity. That's the power of God, and that's His message. If you need to come to Jesus Christ, you need to put off sins and put on Christ, and you need the power of His Word, come forward while we stand and while we sing.